Good morning, friends, and welcome to the Gospel of Grace broadcast. We are thankful to have the opportunity to bring to you, after 30 years of broadcasting, the reassuring message of God's free and sovereign grace. This broadcast is sponsored by the McClenny Primitive Baptist Church. You can receive additional information about this ministry and the doctrines of grace at www.mcclennypbc.com or by calling 904-259-7806. Pray as we go forward together this morning into God's Word. Please stay tuned for another message of God's free and sovereign grace.
Good morning, friends, and welcome to the Gospel of Grace broadcast. It's always a great privilege to have the opportunity to share with you the truths of God's Word, especially the glorious gospel of the doctrine of salvation by the sovereign grace of God. Pray for the time that we have together. Pray that everything that we say will be to God's name, honor and glory, and to the great consolation of your heart, the strengthening of your faith. I hope that what we share today will make a difference in your life in the week ahead, that you'll receive some strength, some help, some encouragement from the truth of God's glorious Word that he's left for just such a purpose. I want to share with you a passage of Scripture that from the time I was a little boy, I've heard God's men using this verse of Scripture for the amazing comfort of God's people. Deuteronomy 32, verse 9. Moses writes to the children of Israel and he says, "For the Lord's portion is his people, Jacob, is the lot of his inheritance." Now this verse brings before us a blessed and wonderful line of truth. And it's so wonderful that no human mind could have possibly invented this. It speaks of a mighty God having an inheritance. And then it tells us that his inheritance is his own people. God refused to take this world for his inheritance. He's going to burn it up one day. Of course, you and I won't be here. We'll be with him. But he is going to destroy this earth. The earth and all the works therein shall be burned up, the Apostle Peter says in 2 Peter chapter 3. Heaven was not enough to be his inheritance. Though it is full with the angelic host in all of his glory, heaven is not the heart of God. In eternity past, Solomon gives us a look into eternity past when he says in Proverbs 8:31, he quotes the Lord when God said, "My delights were with the sons of men before the world was." Now let me say this. This is not the only scripture in the Word of God that teaches that God's inheritance is his own saints. In Psalm 135, verse 4, we read, "For the Lord hath chosen Jacob unto himself, and Israel for his peculiar treasure." Now, the words peculiar treasure there means inheritance. Malachi 3:17, the Lord speaks of his people as his special treasure. So special that the highest manifestations of his love are given to them. The richest gifts from the hands of God are bestowed upon them. Heaven on high is prepared and reserved for them. The same wondrous truth is taught in the New Testament. In Ephesians chapter 1, we behold the Apostle Paul praying that God would give unto his people the spirit of wisdom and revelation and the knowledge of him, and that the eyes of their understanding would be enlightened. This is what Paul prays, that they might know this. What is it Paul is praying that they would know? What is the hope of God's calling? And what is the riches of the glory of his inheritance in the saints? Isn't that amazing? You wonder what God is doing, what his plan is? His eternal purpose is to have you as his inheritance. Isn't that amazing? It's an amazing expression. Not only do the children of God obtain an inheritance in God, but He secures an inheritance in them. It's overwhelming, the thought that the great God should deem Himself the richer because of us. Surely, this is one of the most marvelous truths that's revealed in the Holy Word of God, that God should pick up poor sinners and make them His inheritance. Yet, it is so. But what need does God have of us? How could we possibly enrich Him? Doesn't He have everything, wisdom and power and grace and glory? But there is something that, while He doesn't need us, He desires us. Just as the sun shines upon the earth, God shines His glory upon us, and His glory is reflected in us and seen through us, and He delights in that. God uses us as vessels to fill with His glory so that His glory is reflected. Vessels, you and I are, on which the riches of His grace are going to be lavished. Mark that God's people aren't only called His portion, but as we read, His special treasure. And finally, His inheritance. Now, we just shared with the McClinney Primitive Baptist Church recently that inheritance is obtained through death. And so God's inheritance is secured to Him through the death of His beloved Son. And then an inheritance denotes some sense of perpetuity to a man and his heirs forever. Those are the terms that are often used in inheritance documents that we know as wills. To a man and his heirs forever. Yet, we know that as far as documents of men concerned, there comes an end to it in their covenants and their testaments, but not in God's covenants and His testaments. Then, an inheritance is for possession. It's something which is entered into, something that people live from the proceeds of it. And they enjoy it. Now notice God's inheritance. God purposed to have such an inheritance. The psalmist David said, "Blessed is the nation whose God is the Lord, listen, and the people whom He hath chosen for His own inheritance." Now, the nation here is identical with the holy nation, the chosen generation, the royal priesthood, and peculiar people of 1 Peter 2. That is, that people that were favored, the favored people that was chosen by God to be His inheritance. It was not an afterthought with Him, but it was decreed by Him in eternity past. Before the foundation of the world, God fixed His heart upon us and upon having us for Himself. And then God has purchased His people for an inheritance. In Ephesians 1:14, we're told that the Holy Spirit is the earnest of our inheritance until the redemption of the purchased possession unto the praise of His glory. And in Acts chapter 20, we read of the church of God, which He, that is Christ, has purchased with His own blood. You're a purchased possession as God's inheritance. God has not only redeemed His people from bondage, but has redeemed His people from death itself. God has purchased His people as His inheritance. And then God comes and dwells in the midst of His inheritance. Psalm 94, the psalmist David said, "For the Lord will not cast off His people, neither will He forsake his inheritance. A clear proof that these scriptures in the Psalms here, where the Lord will not cast off his people, neither will he forsake his inheritance, that's a clear proof that those scriptures are not referring to the nation of Israel after the flesh, those who are the genetic descendants of Abraham. Just as Jehovah tabernacled in the midst of the redeemed Hebrews in the wilderness journey, so now God indwells his church both collectively and individually. The Apostle Paul says, "Know you not that you're the temple of God and the Spirit of God dwelleth in you?" The Lord will not forsake his inheritance. He comes and dwells in the midst of them. "Know you not that your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit?" Paul asked the church at Corinth. God beautifies his inheritance. Just as a man who has inherited a house or an estate takes possession of it and then begins to make improvements, so God is now fitting his people for himself. And Paul said, "He who has begun a good work in you shall perform it until the day of Jesus Christ." If you are God's chosen, if you're a member of his family, you're part of his inheritance. God has begun in regeneration a good work in you. He's preparing his inheritance. He's beautifying his inheritance in the sanctifying power of the Spirit of God. God is working on you, conforming you more and more each day into the image of his dear Son, so that every child of God can say with the psalmist David, "The Lord will perfect that which concerneth me." And God won't be satisfied until we've been glorified completely. He's going to beautify his inheritance. Just as men and women who receive inheritances in this world and lovely estates tend for them and care for them and enrich them and seek to make them more beautiful than when they first received them, God is going to give the ultimate glory to his inheritance, his people. As the Apostle Paul said in Philippians 3:21, that God is going to change our vile bodies that they may be fashioned like unto his glorious body, according to the working whereby is able to subdue all things unto himself. John wraps it up in 1 John 3:2, "When he shall appear, we shall be like him." And so what of the future for God's inheritance, us? God will possess, live in, and enjoy his inheritance in the unending ages yet to be. God's going to make known the riches of his glory upon the vessels of his mercy. The glory which God is going to ever live upon as an inheritance shall arise out of his people. What a marvelous statement is found at the close of Ephesians 2, where the saints are likened unto a building that's fitly framed together, and it groweth into an holy temple in the Lord, of whom it is said, "In whom you're builded together for an habitation of God through the Spirit." It's a wonderful and glorious picture presented before us. In the book of Revelation, Revelation 21, as we see the people of God, God's inheritance, notice what John says, "And I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth were passed away, and there was no more sea. And I, John, saw the holy city, the new Jerusalem, coming down from God out of heaven, prepared as a bride adorned for a husband. And I heard a great voice out of heaven saying, 'Behold, the tabernacle of God is with men. He's going to joy over thee with singing. God himself shall be with them. He's going to be their God. What an incredible thought that is. God is going to dwell in us as we are His inheritance. Zephaniah says, "The Lord thy God in the midst of thee is mighty. He will save. He will rejoice over thee. He'll rest in His love. He will joy over thee with singing." The great God will yet say, "I'm satisfied. I'm going to rest here in my people. This is my inheritance that I will live in forever. I'm going to live in the glory which I've bestowed upon redeemed singers. I'm going to joy over them with singing." You know, whenever I get very happy, I love to sing. Whenever I'm joying and rejoicing, I love to sing and hum. In heaven, God's going to be happy. He's going to sing over us. He's going to rejoice over us. He's purchased us through the shed blood of His dear Son, which makes us the most valuable and precious commodity in the universe, because the most precious thing in the universe purchased us, the lifeblood of His dear Son. He's going to have us. He's going to dwell in us. And so we say with the psalmist, "Such knowledge is too wonderful for me. It's high. I can't attain unto it." We are God's inheritance. And then the Word of God tells us that God secures His inheritance. Notice in verse 10 of Deuteronomy 32, Jacob is the lot of His inheritance. How does God secure His inheritance? It tells us of Jacob. He says that God found him in a desert land, in a waste, howling wilderness. He led him about, He instructed him, and He kept him as the apple of His eye. In the previous verse, we have the amazing statement that the Lord's portion is His people. And so that there may be no misunderstanding, the same truth is expressed in another form. In the next phrase of that verse, Moses says, "Jacob is the lot of His inheritance." And here in this text, we learn something of the pains which God takes to secure His heritage, His inheritance. Jehovah finds His people, Israel, who are named after Jacob, Israel. The Word of God says that He found him in a desert land. Found implies a search. And so we're presented with the amazing spectacle of a seeking God. Sin came between the creature and the Creator, causing alienation and separation. And not only so, but as the result of the fall, every human being enters this world with the mind that is in enmity against God, is an enemy against God. And so, consequently, Paul says, "There is none that understandeth, there is none that seeketh after God." And so God, in His marvelous grace, becomes the seeker. The word "found" not only implies a search, but when you consider the sinful character and the unworthiness of the objects of this search, it tells you about the great love of the seeker. The great God becomes the seeker because He set His heart upon those whom He marked out to be the recipients of His special favors. God had set His heart upon Abraham. And so He did seek him out, and He found him amid the heathen idolaters down in Ur of Chaldea. God set His heart upon Jacob, and so He sought him out and found him as a fugitive from his brother's vengeance when he made a rock for His pillar at Bethel and lay asleep on bare earth. And so it was also that the Lord had loved Moses with an everlasting love, and the Lord sought him out and found him in the backside of the Midian desert. And so it's true with every child of God living in the world today. He said in Romans 10 that I was found of them that sought me not. I was manifest unto them that ask not after me. Beloved, has God found you? Ponder the text. He found him in a desert land, in a waste howling wilderness. Is that how the world appears to you? Do you find everything in this world to be vanity and vexation of the spirit? That is, things that are in this world, the culture of it. Are you made to groan daily at what you witness on every hand? Do you find that ultimately the world furnishes nothing to satisfy the heart? God can satisfy the heart. I'm talking about the world. Is the world really a waste howling wilderness to you? Well, let me say this. When God truly finds one of His own, He reveals Himself. He imparts to that soul a realization of His sovereign majesty, of His awesome power, His incredible mercy. Has He made Himself known to you? Has He given you in any measure at all a vision of His divine glory, His sovereign grace, His wondrous love? If He has, Jesus said, "This is life eternal, that they might know Thee, the one true God, and Jesus Christ, whom Thou hast sent." If God revealed Himself to you, then He's given you a side of yourself. A most stumbling, painful, never to be forgotten experience it is. When God revealed Himself to Abraham, Abraham said, "I'm but dust and ashes." When He revealed Himself to Isaiah, Isaiah said, "Woe is me, for I'm undone because I'm an unclean man." God revealed Himself to Job. Job said, "I abhor myself and repent in dust and ashes. Not merely I abhor my wicked ways, but myself." Is that your experience? Have you experienced your depravity, your lost condition? Have you found that apart from God, there's not a single good thing in you? Have you seen yourself to be fit for and deserving only of plowing the deepest furrows of a burning hell? If you have, it's good evidence. It's positive proof that God has found you. And so the Savior says, "Blessed are they that mourn. Theirs is the kingdom of God." If you mourn and grieve over your sinful condition, it's because God's already blessed you. And notice that not only does the Lord find His people, but He leads His people. He led him about. When He found Jacob in the desert land in a waste-howling wilderness, finding them is not the end. It's only the beginning. Having found him, now he remains. He's never going to leave him. Now that he's found his wandering child, he teaches them to walk. Said in Hosea, "I taught Ephraim also to go. I taught Israel, taking them by their arms, just as a fond mother takes her little one, whose feet are too weak and untrained to walk alone. So the Lord takes his people by their arms and leads them in paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Just as I taught my son to walk, leading him and guiding him, encouraging each of his first steps." That's his promise. "He will keep the feet of his saints," Samuel said. The Lord leads. Jesus said that, "I'm the way, the truth, and the life, and no man cometh to the Father but by me." But again he said, "No man can come except the Father which has sent me draw him." And so here is how God leads. He leads us. He draws us. He brings us to the Lord Jesus Christ. God brings us. Isn't that wonderful? He leads us to the way, the truth, and the life. And He doesn't leave us just in the work of regeneration. He doesn't just lead us to Christ in being born again. But the Holy Spirit takes up His abode and He leads us. The Lord Jesus declared in John 16, when He, the Spirit of truth, has come, He will guide, He will lead you into all truth. We're not capable of discovering or entering into truth merely by ourselves. We have to be led. As many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. It's He who leads us and makes us to lie down in green pastures. He leads us providentially. God guides us, our footsteps. He leads us in regeneration. He leads us in sanctification. He leads us in providence. As He led the children of Israel, He gave them the pillar of fire by night to show them light, wherein they should go. He gave them the pillar of cloud to lead them in the way. By the day, God leads. And then finally, He instructs. Through messages like this, through His written word. I hope you'll tune in and learn more about this great God, the seeker, the finder, the leader, the instructor of His people, and the keeper. And He kept him as the apple of His eye, the preserver of His people. What a great God we have. Praise Him this week for His goodness. The seeker, the finder, the leader, the instructor, and the keeper. May God bless.
As we bid you farewell today, please remember to tune in next week to this channel at the same time for the Gospel of Grace broadcast. This broadcast is sponsored by the McClenny Primitive Baptist Church. You can receive additional information about this ministry and the doctrines of grace at www.mcclennypbc.com or by calling 904-259-7806. Please pray for us. And until next week, may the Lord richly bless you all is our prayer.